How's it going, everyone? Welcome to Free Kick, the AFLW Fantasy Podcast. My name is Mel, and today I'm joined by Will as we chat about the North Melbourne Tasmanian Kangaroos. Will, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
We're really getting to the pointy end on our club reviews. This is a pretty exciting one to talk about in terms of like watching them play, but maybe not as spicy for the fantasy relevancy.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, North Melbourne made the grand final last year. They were runners-up, but they're such an exciting team to watch. Very high scoring. Finished third overall last season with 7 wins and 3 losses, but I think the thing that made them exciting is they had a percentage of 224%. They genuinely smashed a few teams. They're a great team to watch.
And so they've had a few changes in the off-season. A very interesting one with their trade in. Why don't you run us through some of those?
Yeah, they've basically gone from a team that was very close to winning a flag and only managed to get stronger by bringing in all-Australian caliber defender Libby Birch, who is unfortunately likely to miss possibly the first couple of games of the season due to injury. But she instantly strengthens an already very strong backline, which is pretty crazy considering how good North List already is. They've also picked up a couple of draft picks, Alice Slocum and Georgia Stubbs. And they've also regained a few inactive players in Zoe Savarayan, who had an ACL injury, and Vicky Wall, which is an interesting one. She went back to Ireland to play rugby and has come back this year, which makes for a very interesting prospect, adding to what we already know is a very strong forward line.
Yes.
So they've managed to increase their firepower both forward and back, which is pretty exciting. And they've also brought over another Irish rookie in Blaithen Berg. So all in all, they've done pretty well with their ins, even if they've mostly had a fairly stable off-season.
Yeah, and one of the major trade outs we've already spoken quite a bit about this pre-season, but not too many outs overall.
Yeah, so the main trade out was Ellie Gavalis, who's gone over to the Bulldogs, likely seeking a bit more midfield opportunity because, as we know, the North Melbourne Kangaroos already have a very strong midfield. So she's probably the main out. Eilish Considine, another Irish woman, has retired, and they've delisted Hannah Bowie, Charlie Granville, Cassidy Mailer, and Sophia McCarthy. So a bit of depth, but they've basically just replaced them with, Libby Birch and Vicky Wall, which is pretty good.
Yeah. Pretty nice. So I guess then looking at the fantasy-relevant players that we've got here at North, you can't really go past the number two averaging midfielder. Who's the top of the list?
Yeah, so top of the list, Jazz Garner, absolute superstar, somehow continues to just do what she does, kicking goals, taking marks, tackles, possessions, does it all. One of the few players that averaged over 120, which is pretty exciting. So a very solid option if you want to put her as your M1. If you really, really want to pay up, you could put her and Eb Marin off as a partnership at M1 and 2.
And that's spend a fair entire chunk of your
salary cap.
Yeah.
Entire salary cap on two players. But, I mean, you're going to get a rough average of 250 points from both of them each week, not including the captaincy. So, I mean, she's a very, very good player, and she's going to be super expensive for a reason, but still, with an average like that, hard to look past.
Yeah, I mean, we saw her take that already very high average up to another level last season, where she kind of went from 98 the season before to 127 average last season. So we can only see that either staying or going up even further, because she's just such a powerful player. Yeah, and the thing we love about that is just her consistency. Like, she did have one low game last season where quite a few coaches were probably quite annoyed given her price, getting somewhere in the 80s. But that was a tough matchup, and we might see a low game here or there. She can't go at that incredible speed forever. But yeah, she's definitely a lock for M1. And then your second most fantasy-relevant player, potential lock for M2.
Yeah, Ash Riddell, partner in crime, our friend of the pod from last season. Look, no one racks up the ball like Ash Riddell. We've got some great ball winners in this competition, but Ash Riddell is the best at it. Still averaged really, really well last year, but doesn't quite have that same allure as the 120. But it's also worth noting that she only dropped below 100 during the home and away season twice, which was a 79 against Geelong and a 94 against Melbourne. So two pretty good teams, and one of them's a 94, which you're usually pretty happy with.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a really good option. And if you are looking to maybe save a bit of money and not go for one of those big two, which is a bold call, not going for Garner and Marinoff, but Ash Riddell would be a very capable M1 if you wanted to save a bit of money in your midfield.
I know she's someone that really helped you along last season.
Yeah, she did. She was someone that both Liam and I think were really keen on, just because she had a bit of a down previous season, so it was a bit cheaper and ended up being a bit of a unique pick for me. So yeah, definitely a player that you can rely on to just get the ball, score well. I mean, these two midfielders are just absolutely elite, both on field and in fantasy. So you can pick them in your team pretty comfortably.
And even though they're now absolute like elite fantasy relevant players, they were last season as well. But it's crazy to think that across season 8, they've both gained about 25 points in their average. Like, they're just crazy that they're both at one club.
It's part of the reason why North was so good is if you've got one player who can basically get the ball at will in Ash Riddell, and then Jazz Garner who can basically do absolutely anything, whether it's take a contested mark, kick a goal up forward, just burst from a stoppage, that's hard for teams to stop. And they just fed it off each other. And yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Yep. So two very well-known fantasy players, fantasy relevant players for slots 1 and 2. Slot number 3. Another very well-known fantasy-relevant player.
Yeah, basically the big three of North Melbourne. Number 3, I put Emma Carney. Still kicking around. She's been a wonderful, wonderful player for both the Bulldogs early days and now North Melbourne, obviously. I think the thing that we know about Emma Carney is consistency. Mm-hmm. She just knows how to get the ball. Didn't drop below 50 last year. If you pick her, you know you're probably going to get a solid 60-ish every week. One of the things that does excite us is that Libby Birch trade, because it means that hopefully Birch can take over as more of the, deeper interceptor, allowing Carney to run up the ground a bit more. We know she loves to run and carry with the ball and push it forward. So if she can be basically the one that Libby Birch kicks to, takes the mark and then runs up the field, that would be superb. Hopefully we'll boost her average by, 4 or 5 points, hopefully. How Libby Birch's absence early in the season affects that, still to be seen, but I think Carney's a player that you can bank pretty easily to be around that top 5. Maybe not in the top 5, but she will definitely be there or thereabouts.
I think she's coming in as the second highest averaging defender, but where we saw Garner and Riddell gain 25 points or so on their averages last season, Emma Carney is Miss Reliable. She's averaged about 70 plus or minus a couple of points for the last few seasons in a row. And even if the Libby Birch kind of add-on kind of doesn't boost her scoring, she's someone that you can bring in, stick at the top of your defender list. Maybe she shuffles up and down based on how some of the other explosive, exciting defenders go. But she'll get there. She'll get about your 70 average. You can set and forget with her. Great to stack your fantasy side with all these North players.
Pretty much. And I think the thing with Carney is that even if she... Because I think one of the concerns with the Birch trade, and after saying that it's a good thing, I now say one of the concerns was that Birch will take some of Carney's intercepting ability. I think Carney's a versatile enough player that she'll find another role as a running player or something like that. So I can't really see her dropping below a 60, which means that if you do pick her and she doesn't play that well early on, sure, you're probably going to lose a bit of money, but she'll still be there or probably in your team at the end of the year. So it's not a big deal.
It's not a loss till you realise it. So
keep
her in. So we've gone from the skipper at slot number 3 to a co-vice captain for season 9 with your number 4 pick.
Yeah, Nicole Bresnahan, another defender. How Libby Birch affects this one is another question that we have had, but Bresnahan is a player that we know can get the ball down back, takes marks, likes to kick the ball, and also has taken kickouts. Priced at only about 55, I believe, due to injury last year, because she was one that didn't help me last year because I brought her in.
Oh, that's right.
after a really good run of form, and then she got injured for a three. So that wasn't great for me. But she's a fantastic player, and I think that the North backline, even with the unknown that is Libby Birch, they have great synergy. They like to share it around. I can't see her averaging too poorly as a result of Libby Birch coming in. I think she's probably underpriced by about 10 points. I think she can definitely average around 65. And I think that that's not a bad option if you're looking to, again, save a little bit of money in that backline rather than going straight up to a Carney. Maybe going, all right, I'll get Nicole Bresnahan. She can, you know, make me 5 points worth of cash, and then maybe trade her up a bit later in the season, or hopefully she'll come back fit and firing and will just be a fantastic pick for you.
Yeah, I mean, if she can come back fit and firing, she was on an absolute roll with her first few games last season, getting like averaging in the 70s for those pre-injury games, which is probably why you traded her in before she had her injury-affected game. But
that is correct, yes.
Being priced at 55, if she can come back and get those 70s, that's 15 points. Nice there.
Prior to me bring her in, and she scored a 15, I've just looked that up against Brisbane, but she scored 65, 69, 74, 76. So really, really good. And then upon returning, she returned in round 10 and then played through the finals, didn't score above a 45 after that.
Yeah, we kind of saw her time on ground drop a bit at the back end of that season, probably still just coming back off that injury.
Exactly. And she really didn't quite look like, I think that they possibly, and I hate to say rushed her back, but I think she came back a bit earlier than would have been ideal because they realized how important she is for that finals push. And it nearly got them there given how they made it to the grand final. But I think with a full preseason under her belt, I think she can go back to scoring really well.
Yep, I like it. And then over at number 5, an interesting choice.
Yeah, number 5, I've picked Vicky Wall, mainly because I think she's an amazing player and I just want to talk about Vicky Wall, to channel my inner Liam. So Vicky Wall, we know that she is a super talented athlete. She looked fantastic when she came in 2 seasons ago, was one of the best rookies that you could get in the forward line, and really looked like a player who could take the next level. And it's probably the one asterisk that I put next to it, which is she's missed a season due to trying to play rugby sevens for Ireland in the Olympics. Comes back now. I think she'll just slot straight back in, much like she did when she came in, because she basically came straight off the plane, as Emma Carney told us, and was just a forward gun. So I don't expect her to be poor, but it's worth knowing that her highest score was a 67 in her first ever game. And I believe she's coming in priced about a 40.
Yeah.
So the one question is whether there's a huge amount of value there. I think that it's probably not a player that I'm looking to start simply because I think there's better value in lower priced rookies in the forward line. But at the same time, regardless of whether I pick her or not, she's a player that I am going to be either glued to my television or sitting on the sidelines going, what a fantastic player to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, great player to watch, but outside of like what she got in the home and away season, she played a few games in the finals, but we didn't really see a lot of additional fantasy potential there that could give us hope that she's going to go above that 40 average. I think she got 32, 36 and 16 or something. So not really, like, I think the benefit with her comes in having more time playing with the footy, another kind of preseason, but yeah, definitely one to watch and see how she's going.
Absolutely.
For the Mel special here, the host special at the end, I am going to mention Ruby Tripodi. So she is a
friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod, exactly. I mean, this is a friend of the pod heavy fantasy relevant list with Ash Riddell, Emma Carney, and now Ruby Tripodi is the players to watch. But she is a friend of the pod from last season in our rookie episode. And she's also the player to watch from this year's friend of the pod, Tess Craven. So really building on each other there. Priced at 29 as a forward. Admittedly, 29 is a pretty low fantasy score. And she might not look fantasy relevant just from having a look at her last season, because we saw some high 30s and some low teens. So it's not really screaming potential. But we did see her get some CBAs in round 10. And she had a pretty low time on ground for a lot of last season. I don't know how credible this is as a additional reason to pick her. And I could have only just been looking out for her because I know she's a friend of the pod. But I went to quite a few North games last season and she just kept coming in my line of sight. I just couldn't not look at her. She was always around the ball, doing interesting things. Maybe didn't quite show up in the stat line. But I think she's definitely got the potential to make an impact. And we did see her play a lot of the games in her first season. So with another preseason under her belt, if she can come in even stronger and kind of come in as North's kind of mid-forward utility role, lock into games, increase her time on ground, I think that she could be a real burst this season.
Yeah, I think one of the things about Tripodi and that low average is that it's a classic case of a midfielder playing in that forward role that they're probably not that suited to as a young player, because North's midfield, very hard to break into.
Yeah.
You've obviously got the two superstars we've already talked about, and that hasn't even mentioned like Mia King, Jenna Bruton, who's going to be back from her Achilles injury. It's a tough midfield to break into, especially as a young player. So I think that the thing that interests me here about Tripodi is that trade out of Ellie Gavalis.
Yeah.
We do have that sort of half-forward mid-rotation player coming in, or that role's now available. Whether that's filled by Tripodi, maybe Vicky Wall, maybe a combination of other players, not too sure yet. But Tripodi's priced at that cheap enough number that if there's a sniff of that role early on in the preseason, I can see the value there. And I think it's an interesting forward rookie option. And this is kind of what I say about Vicky Wall is, I think that even though Wall's probably, at this stage, a better player and probably going to score higher, if you're looking for the value, maybe you go for someone who's 10 points less on the hope that they can output something similar.
Yeah. I mean, given that we've already got three very, very good fantasy candidates at North, if you're putting in either of Vicky Wall and or Ruby Tripodi on top of Garner, Riddell and Carney, you have got a very North-heavy squad. But yeah, I think Vicky Wall and Ruby Tripodi fit in that category of potentials to trade into during the season.
Yeah, I agree. And you mentioned the friend of the pod.
Yes.
For this episode.
So I have accidentally skipped right over the interview throw at the start of the episode. So we're going to put the interview at the end. So please stick around and have a listen to our season 9 friend of the pod, Tess Craven, for her chat that she had earlier in the preseason with Will. Nope, with Jono.
Well, I did have a chat with Tess Craven earlier this year. This interview was set up because I randomly bumped into her at a concert.
So yeah, that is actually true.
That worked quite well.
Yeah, thank you, Tess, for attending the Pink concert. Check out our socials for our best 21. You can listen to the rest of our preseason content wherever you get your podcasts, which for us now includes YouTube as well. So go have a look at our YouTube channel. Ooh. Like, subscribe, comment, do all the good things. Stay tuned for our next club review episode, which will be the Brisbane Lions, and we will chat to you later.
Catch you next time.
Bye.
See you, everyone.
Welcome to the podcast, Tess. It's great to have you on.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, look, it's been a long off-season for you with North Melbourne having played their last game nearly 8 months ago in the grand final. How have you gone relaxing over this off-season, and how is it jumping back into the pre-season?
I mean, it has been a long time, but I think that's kind of part of the AFLW as it is these days. We train a lot more than we play. Obviously good to have a break as long with everything, I suppose. But I didn't do much, didn't really go anywhere. I went away for a couple of days just to Apollo Bay, nothing international or anything. I was also at uni for the last couple of months, just in uni break right now. And then, honestly just saw family a lot because I'm just alone in Melbourne. My family live elsewhere. So, yeah, just hung out, had some time off. But obviously, as in any off-season, it's not really an off-season. It's kind of when it's your pre-season. So fair bit of training alone and also with the girls. I think we had a really good off-season buy-in. So a lot of sessions together, which was always good, makes it more doable. And I guess that leads me into the preseason now. All those off-season sessions we've done together, I think, have really set us all up for our preseason now. It doesn't feel as daunting or as much of a shock to the system. It's very much something we've just been doing in preparation for months now. So it's just great to actually be back into it.
Mm. I've seen, I think Ash Riddell's sort of hold on winning the time trial every year has sort of come to an end now. A lot of players have seemed to have reined her in. She's looking like there's been a lot of off-season training going on.
Yeah, well, one thing about Ash is she will do everything to the nth degree, and she, like, she is a very committed trainer and she does everything right. So she, I think she's gotten basically the same score the past three times, like exact same time, the same three, the last three times she's run it. So I think she's, like, genuinely pushed herself to what is her genetic capability. Like, it's insane that the amount of effort she puts into her training is really admirable as a younger player. But yeah, I guess the young crop, not me, but some of the younger girls have caught her, but I think it's a credit to her now. She's been here for so long and she just continues to improve. And obviously a massive credit to Gaddy and Al and a few of the other girls. They had a big off season. So yeah, it's obviously, like, well done to them. And I'm sure it doesn't settle well with Ash. She doesn't like being beaten. So sure, yeah. Just a fire in the belly for her.
Yeah, absolutely. Try and push her to go beyond that genetic limit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, it's, I guess with the North, the big question of the offseason seems to have been that you've come so close to the premiership last year. I mean, being ahead at three-quarter time in a grand final. What, I suppose, has been the messaging coming back to the club that you guys are talking about to try and hopefully go one better this year?
I guess a lot of the messaging is just that we've done so much right, and, like, we've actually done the bulk of the work, so now it's just fine tuning. Obviously, not to, like, I haven't watched the game back, and we only do snippets here and there. We didn't do anything together to watch it or anything, because I mean, it's a bit redundant. You can just look at it and pick apart every little moment, and wish you did this better, and that can happen individually from a team perspective. And I think we're a very forward-looking team. That's always something we've looked into our season. After the game, we say we look forward to the next, because you can't dwell on the past. You can learn from it, but, you know, there's a thin line. And yeah, so I honestly think it's just that we did so much right, and our system works very clearly. We just have to fine-tune little things here and there to just go that one level better. Yeah, and so it's really exciting.
Yeah. No, it sounds very much like a sort of trust the process rather than, I guess it's just one game. And there was also a lot of things that seemed to go quite difficult in that game. I mean, losing Jana Bruton so early in the game throws off so many things. I've seen in some of the off-season photos that she's still wearing a little bit of a moon boot. Is that interrupting her preseason, or are we hoping we'll see her round one?
Look, I actually don't know at this stage. It's kind of ebbs and flows, as anything does. But she's tracking very well, from what I've seen. In the off season, I think the moon boot was mainly just like a bit of just being careful, I guess, being cautionary. Like, if she has to do something, that means she walks a lot, she'll put the moon boot on, just as a matter of taking care of it, and yeah, not rushing the process at all, because, like, that's the thing with Jenna, you know what you're going to get from her, you know, she'll do everything right. So I guess it's just getting her right now. And yeah, I think she's tracking pretty well. So hopefully see her round one.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like she's one of those players who really puts in and does her role so well every week.
100%.
Which, I mean, honestly, I feel like that's a real strength of North Melbourne as a whole, is you've got so many players who know their role really, really well. And the list across the board is quite strong. We've been looking at some of the talent coming in the off season, and it looks like, I mean, I don't know how you fit these players in because you've got such a strong team already, but someone like Libby Birch, who's a dual All-Australian, she's won premierships at two different clubs already. I mean, how has it been having her at the club coming in? You had a chance to meet up with her yet?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I met up with her early in the off season, and that's obviously a credit to Lib. She was there for every off season session, and she pretty much the second the news was confirmed that she was coming, she stuck right in, and She got into the gym, she got into the running, she got into the sessions, she had coffee with everyone. Like, she was really proactive in building that connection. And I think that's why now it feels like she's always been there. It's not a shock to the system at all. She's meshed right in. She's obviously, you know, her capabilities as a footballer, but her leadership is really coming out in our team. And like you said, we've got a few young players that have come in. Obviously, we have a great older group of like Jamin, Jenna, Carnes, Shields, Ash, and now Liv adding to that. But we obviously, as the years go by, we get younger and younger. So I think she's been a really good guidance. And obviously, so much experience. She knows what success looks like in the AFLW, which is, really impressive. And, yeah, I think she's slotted right in.
And on those younger players you mentioned, you've drafted Ella Slocum and Georgia Stubbs. What have your first impressions of those two been?
Unfortunately for Stubbsy, she's had a bit of an interrupted preseason and off-season just with injuries, which is obviously like quite common when you're a younger player coming in. I dealt with it for years. It's a huge load that you take onto your body that you're just never – you can't prepare yourself for. Like Ella was saying in the preseason or off-season, she was like, this is just a whole nother level, because it is. It has to be. What was I saying? Oh, yes. Sorry. So Stubbsy, yeah, unfortunately, she's been a bit marred with injuries. But when she has joined in, she's getting it and she's been doing the extra work. And that's actually a credit to both of them. They've been meeting up with Croc in the off-season to learn our structures and our system, and meeting up with our personal development manager to sort out uni and stuff for themselves. Because Ella came from Perth and Georgia lives in Sassafras. So she still lives there now. So that's obviously limited her a bit as well. She doesn't live in Melbourne. So it's been it's a big life switch for the both of them. And they've really, really fitted in. I think Ella got a really good time trial score. She didn't run it on the day that it was posted, but she ran it later on and she got a really, really good score, which is, again, a real credit to her and her off season. She's stuck right in and really got into it. And she's living with the Irish girls at the moment. So they have a house in North Fitzroy. And so she's an honorary Irish. She's doing really well. She's training on the wing at the moment, and her pace and that is really challenging and, yeah, really good, really exciting to see.
No, it's fantastic to hear. That would be a busy household, because I feel like the Irish cohort's getting bigger and bigger at North.
It is, it's extending.
Blahin Bogue.
Yes, yep.
Yeah.
I haven't met her yet, though. She's not in the country yet, but we'll meet her soon.
Yeah, very recent addition to the team, it seems. And the other one is, I'm not sure she's a new player as such, but it sounds like Vicky Ward might be returning in season 9.
Is that the case? Yeah. On all accounts, yes, that's the case. But she won't be living with them. Vicky's got herself sorted. She's a mature adult who will live on her own terms, not with the young Irish, who are a bit chaotic, to say the least. So, but yes, she is obviously included in our Irish brigade.
Yeah. I mean, with Vicky returning, I feel like that's a huge boon to sort of that forward mix that you've got there, which is already a very, very powerful forward line, scoring a lot of goals last year. I guess, how do you see that, her impact, I suppose, coming back this season?
I think you said it. She's just so powerful. And obviously our tools are really an asset for us with Shields and Tars and Kingy. But the thing with Vicky is she can kind of behave like a tall or a small, because she's really fast, but she's also really powerful. And so, I guess it just adds another dimension to our forward line. It's that grade in between, like an Alice O'Loughlin and like a Shields. Like, she's somewhere in between there, or like Tars or something. So, yeah, it'll be really, really exciting to see what she can bring for us this season.
Yeah, love to hear it. You yourself have also played a number of roles across your career so far. Seemed like last year it was mostly on the wing. Can you tell us a little bit about your role at the club in this season ahead and how you're looking to improve this year?
Yeah, I have played a lot of roles. I think I've played just about everything except inside mid. And I think I even did that for like a ball up or something. Yeah, I remember in the Richmond final I had to go on a ball up because there was a rotation mishap. So this season I have committed to the wing role, just because the past couple of preseasons it's been a bit iffy which one I'm going to do. And I think for me and my development, it'd be best if I just had something to really focus on. And obviously, like, that's something I can my versatility is something that I think is an asset. But I also think it's important to focus on something specific. And so that was a big thing for me in this off season. I wanted to nail that down quickly to see what I was going to do. And yeah, that kind of goes hand in hand with improvement because, like you said, we're a role-playing team. So my role as a wing is different from my role as a halfback. It's different from my role from a half forward sort of thing. So I think in order to get the most out of myself, I need to fully commit to a role, which I've done. And yeah, I guess for me, improvement-wise, obviously as a young player, you probably think of yourself and you think of what you can achieve and you want to do this and that and you want to get a game and then you want to get, you know, external validation or whatever. But I think it's my fourth season now, so I've kind of reached the point of like I'm not new anymore. Not saying the thrill is worn off, but it's just like I more care about whether I'm being a good teammate and doing my part in our machine, like being the cog that they need me to be in the machine to help us win games, obviously, like just that straightforward. And I think probably I've been concerned with selection for a couple of years. And I think I'm a bit over that now. I'm not saying I'm guaranteeing my spot on the team, but I'm just saying like my personal focus is to how I can best use my abilities to help the team win. And so I guess that comes from just ultimately for me, just getting the ball more because my biggest asset is my skills. So I can't use those if I don't touch the ball. So that's basically it. Just getting into good spots, helping out down back, maybe threatening down up forward, anything like that. But ultimately, just whatever the team needs is my attitude for this season.
Yeah, I love to hear that. I feel like there's a few players in the team that have also, you know, been thrown around a lot. Take Emma Carney, for example, going from midfield to now half back. Do you ever lean on these sort of players and talk about how they go in their versatility and how they adjust to try and find a new role?
Carnes was a big one that obviously I spoke about when the halfback thing was being floated and everything. And she probably told me a few of the insecurities that I wouldn't have thought she had. Like she was worried about being a good defender, which she'd never had to worry about, like being one-on-one, reading the play in a different way to being a midfielder and stuff like that. So it's obviously really good to talk to her about that. But yeah, I guess it was kind of always floated that it was halfback or wing. Last year, and I guess it was team dependent in the end. Like we had injuries, so they needed a halfback sort of thing, and then she came back and they needed a wing. So it was very much just when I'm in whatever line I'm in, I need to lean on the people around me because I don't know everything. Even in the wing role, which I've on and off played for many years, I still don't know everything, and I don't think anyone will ever know anything. So it's engaging conversation with those around you. When you're a mid, even if the wing, I like talking to the inside mids because obviously we're involved in stoppage at some point. So it's good to know what they're trying to achieve and then how I can best help them. And much the same for when I was down back.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely makes sense to having to rely on, figure out where the ball's coming out of stoppage and whatnot.
Exactly.
I guess a final question for you. Who have you most been excited watching this preseason and do you think is set for a big season ahead?
From North,
yeah. If you've got someone from another club, we'll hear that too. But would love.
No, I don't know why I asked that question. I want to say two because I think they themselves are hard to separate. But just personally, I think Gaddy has had a really big off season and she was already really fit, but she's even come back fitter and her footy IQ and her skills have come back so much better. I think it'll be so exciting to see what she can do this year. I don't think many people can match her pace. And as she's now understanding where to run and how to run, I think she'll be very, very unstoppable on the wing there. And then her best – sorry, the reason I laugh is that Ruby Tripodi and Gaddy, they're like twins. They follow each other around at the club. If you see one without the other, it's concerning. But also, again, to Ruby, she's had a massive off season and she didn't play as much as she probably would have liked last year. But I think she's setting herself up for a really good season this year. I thought she had a great, like first year. You never know what you're going to get, but I think she had a great first year and I think she has so much potential and I think she's starting to untap all that. So yeah, it's very exciting. I reckon those two will be, and maybe some link ups because Ruby's in the mids at the moment. So yeah, and that'll be cute.
Yeah, no, glad to hear that. I think Ruby in particular is one that we'd already been looking at as a potential breakout for North this year. It's great to hear she's on the up. Well, yeah, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. Really appreciate it.
All good.
All the luck to you guys. I think I was looking at the fixture today. It seems like you're playing every top eight team from last season and then someone that would just fell short. It sounds like a tough fixture for you, but fingers crossed that you'll be back in the finals contention and getting that first premiership.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's kind of to be expected when you come runner up, you're going to have to play all the good teams. And I think that's something we welcome now. We don't mind all that pressure. That's something we think we've earned, if anything. Yeah, so that's great.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.